a call from somebody last week asking the following shaila, which I thought was very interesting. I had a similar issue come up once. The person told me that someone had asked him to borrow $20,000 for, I don't know if it was a business venture or to cover some expenses or something. And the guy said, you know, I know the person, he's not a big gevir, he's not like a multi-gazillionaire who has, you know, $20,000 is nothing for, like an NFL player who takes the fine, you know, without a problem, without batting an eyelash. But he happened to have $20,000 in the bank. He had enough to be able to lend the money. And he was reading this past week's parsha, and the Torah tells us that there's a mitzvah in the Torah to lend somebody else money, that you have an obligation to lend somebody else money when another Jew needs money. So the question is, to what extent are you obligated? You know, in America, we're generally used to the idea of my property is my property. I don't have an obligation to, if I want to be a nice guy, I can lend you money, I can lend you property, I can lend you my lawnmower if I'm a good neighbor or whatever. But I have no obligation to do that. It's not obligatory. But from reading the Chumash, it sounds like it is obligatory that you do have an obligation to lend somebody else money. So I just want to discuss today this mitzvah of lending somebody else money / property. It doesn't make a difference if it's money or property, and what the gedarim are exactly, meaning how much is too much. Let's say the person was an ani and they asked me for tzedakah, for $20,000 of tzedakah. Which sometimes the guys come at the door, you give them a certain amount of money, and they say, not good enough, you got to do better, I need $20,000. So if you have $20,000 in the bank, are you mechuyev to give them tzedakah? So we know what the rule is by tzedakah. By tzedakah, the Gemara in Maseches Ksuvos is very clear, hamevazveiz, al yevazveiz yosi michamesh, that overall, with all the tzedakah you give to all the different people that you give, it shouldn't be more than 20% of your well, let's say, net worth, because shemiyani v'tzarech lebrios, lest you become poor and you're going to need tzedakah yourself. Do you say the same thing by a loan, that you wouldn't lend more than 20%? So the primary source for anything relating to chesed and lending money, if you want to look up all the important sources, is a sefer written by the Chafetz Chaim called Ahavas Chesed. It's about chesed in general, but a disproportionate amount of the sefer covers lending things, lending money, lending items. So he discusses all of the details. Some later svarim that discuss this in very, very well are Divine Footsteps by a friend of mine, Rabbi Daniel Feldman. Not really friend, I mean, he's much more than a friend. He's like, you know, more of a, like when I was in YU, like we'd all look up to him. He knows a velt. He's a big, big Talmud Chacham, Rabbi Daniel Feldman. And Pischei Choshen by Rav Bloy Shlita from Eretz Yisrael. Rav Bloy used to be a banker. He was then recruited, I believe, by the Bedatz Beis Din to give up banking and serve as a dayan. He wrote something like 10, 15 volumes on Choshen Mishpat. Beautiful, beautiful svarim. So let's start at the beginning. The mitzvah to Rabbi Feldman goes through no less than 8 or 9 or possibly 10 mitzvos involved in lending money to somebody, both aseis and los aseis. So first of all, if you're lending somebody money, very often it's an act of tzedakah. If the person is a poor person, it's tzedakah to lend him money also if he needs it to cover expenses. The fact that the item is going to be returned maybe even increases your own obligation, because by tzedakah, I know I'm never going to see that money again. Even though Chazal have a havtacha, that melech mamon chaser, that when you give money, it's a good way to, that's a good way to preserve your money, and ultimately you will. But that's not in the natural world. That's in, you know, guarantees of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and of Chazal. But when you lend something, you know you're getting it back. When I'm only lending something, so maybe that's even a greater chiyuv than the chiyuv of tzedakah, because I know I can get it back. So it would be more stingy of me not to give. So one is, it might be a fulfillment of the mitzvah of tzedakah. It's also its own separate mitzvah. The Torah says that if you lend money to somebody, you're not supposed to ask for the money. The Chumash says you're not supposed to press him for the money. You shouldn't charge him ribbis for the money. But in that context, even though it says it in the context of ribbis, and it says im kesef talve, if you lend money, but the Chazal understand that it's clearly talking about a chiyuv to lend money, even though it's blashon im. That's a mechilta on that pasuk in Shmos Chav Beis Chav Dalet. The third possible mitzvah is that there's a mitzvah to keep someone else afloat. That's a mitzvah in Vayikra, Perichavei, that you should uphold other people and v'chayachicha imach, and allow someone else to live and to get by. So it could be a fulfillment of that mitzvah to lend him money as well. If the the money helps to cover medical expenses, then you have another mitzvah of ashivosilo, that you have a requirement to return lost property, but not just lost property, to return lost health. And it's a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda to return someone's lost health if their health is failing. Another mitzvah might be is the Isser in the Torah in Vayikra Perek Yutas, Lo Samar Al Dam Re'echa, that you're not allowed to stand idly by and watch someone else suffer terribly. So you have to do something about it. Lending money is doing something about it. Before Shemitah year, the Torah specifically says that you should not hold back from lending money before Shemitah year, even though the Shemitah year is going to cancel it out. So clearly telling us, if it's before Shemitah year, there's another mitzvah of Dafka lending money before Shemitah year, Dafka not hesitating to lend money before Shemitah year. In addition to that, the Gemara, Maseches Yuma Daf Chav Gimel, talks about the Isser of Losikom Lositor, of bearing grudge and taking revenge. And the Gemara says, revenge refers to someone who refuses to lend somebody something that he needs because they refuse to lend you something that you needed. And bearing a grudge means I do help the guy, I do lend him something that he needs, but I still keep in mind that I say to him, I'm going to give this to you, even though you were a jerk and you didn't want to give it to me. So I am giving it to him, but I have to throw that line, I have to throw that zinger in there, that it's because, even though you didn't do it for me, I'm still doing it for you. That's L'sikom L'sitar. So these are isurim in the Torah, but that failure to lend, or failure to lend properly, can be a violation of these isurim in the Torah as well. Now, the mitzvah is not only about money; the mitzvah is about property as well. In fact, the Gemara in Yuma and Daf Yud Aleph and Beis understands that when we describe a house that has tzaras, that the house has to be emptied in order to expose the dishonesty of the person who owns the house. That people would come and ask him for things, and he would say, "I'm sorry, I don't have anything, I can't give you." So we empty out the whole house and say, look, world, take a look at his possessions. This is the guy that told people he didn't have when they asked him for help. The Ran in a tshuva writes that the greatest mitzvah, or the only thing that's a real bona fide mitzvah of lending other than money, is when you lend a Torah or a Sefer. That's a real bona fide mitzvah. But Stam, lending a lawnmower, the Ran suggests in a tshuva, very difficult to run, in Simen Yotes, that when you just Stam, lend something that's more mundane, that's not a mitzvah, that's just a midatova. That's just a nice thing to do. And it's based on an idea that when a person is a shoel, so a shoel has the greatest achrayus in the halacha of the four shomrim, of the dalit shomrim. A borrower is the greatest level of achrayus for the object that he borrows, because he gets all the benefit of the transaction. But the Ran writes that that's not true if it's a sefer, because the borrower isn't getting all the benefit, the lender is getting great benefit because he's doing the mitzvah. A mitzvah to lend somebody. But when I lend somebody my lawnmower, I'm not really, I don't know why I keep picking lawnmower, but if I lend somebody my lawnmower, I'm not really getting a mitzvah. The shoel's getting all the benefit, the lender's not really getting all of the benefit. But the big question is, how much? How much do you have to lend? There's no hamavazir zali vazir zel simichomesh. That's by tzedakah, that you're not supposed to give more than 20% because we're afraid you're going to be poor. When I lend somebody money, I'm not going to be poor. I'm going to get the money back. So it's got to be more than a chomesh, Avos Chesed writes. Chavos Chaim says, on the other hand, there can't be an obligation to give everything you've got. There can't be an obligation to just completely empty your bank account for the other person, because that's just unreasonable. So he says it has to be what a reasonable person would do if he's a very generous, reasonable person. Very hard. He doesn't quantify it at all. He says you have to just assume that it has to be something that it's more than 20%, less than 100%. Figure out what would be assumed reasonable in a given circumstance. Very, very hard to figure those things out. He doesn't really give much guidance other than somewhere between 20 and 100% in terms of helping figure it out. There is a strange requirement when you lend money, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that even if you, that first of all, if you don't trust that the other guy's gonna pay it back, not only is it ill-advised to lend the money, it's usher to lend money if you don't think he's gonna pay it back. Because if you don't think he's going to pay it back, it's lifnei for him to, that you're lending him money and causing him to do the avera, the terrible avera of not paying back alone. So plus, you're going to put yourself in a position where you're going to press him for the money because he's not paying it back, and that's another issue in the Torah, to press him for the money. So that's the Shulchan Aruch says you're not allowed to do. You're not allowed to lend money to a person who you don't think can pay it back. The Shulchan Aruch also says, though, that even if you're lending to a Talmud Chacham who's trustworthy and is honest and you know he's going to pay it back, Shulchan Aruch in Chosh Mishpatim in Ayin Sif Aleph says, still, you must take a mashkon or at least write a shtar. You're not allowed to lend money just straight up. You have to take a mashkon and write a shtar. Very counterintuitive. You would think it's worse to take a mashkon because you're taking something away from him. But from the Lifnei Iver perspective, it covers him on the Lifnei Iver when you take a mashkon or when you write a shtar, because now you know that you're going to be able to get the money back and you know that you're going to be able to press him. So that's something someone asked me a while back for a substantial loan. I happened to have had some money available for the loan. I lent the money. It was a friend of mine. I trusted him 100%. And he said, let me give you something. Let me write something. I'm like, yeah. I said, I'll be a nice guy. Yeah, I don't have to write. You don't have to give me, it's okay. Of course he paid it back, and I knew he was going to pay it back. He paid it back after a while. I didn't chazer the sugya first, though. The Shulchan Aruch is explicit. I did the wrong thing. You're supposed to dafka, not tell him. You don't have to say, I'm writing it because I'm writing a shtar because I don't trust you. Show him. It says black and white in Shulchan Aruch. The Achronim, in fact, Rav Bloy quotes in Perek Aleph of Dinei Halva'a, several Achronim that try to figure out why the Olam is not nizhar in this. Why people aren't careful to do this, to actually write a shtar or take a mashkon. He quotes an Erech Shai that wonders about this, and a Chuvas Pri Yitzchak, Chelek Aleph Sim Memches, that wonders about this. But at the end of the day, since when all the dust settles, the kasha is better than all the terutzim, and really should do what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, that's a little bit about the mitzvah of lending money.